Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where sales leaders teach you what's working for them and how you can build it yourself.
This episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast is brought to you by our sales coaching and consulting services. Are you looking to create repeatable, scalable, and predictable revenue? We've helped thousands of companies grow their business with tailored expert advice backed by testing to ensure they establish the best practices that'll work for them. Head over to bit.ly/predictable revenue coaching to learn more. Revenue attribution is something that many companies are not doing properly. And that's understandable because revenue attribution is very complicated. But if you don't have a strategy for how to calculate attribution at your company, you'll be stuck relying on guesswork as to what does and doesn't bring in revenue. I'm your host, Sarah Hicks, and today on the Predictable Revenue Podcast, I'm going to be chatting to an expert about B2B revenue attribution, build versus buy. He's a customer-centric and data-driven technology leader geek. He is passionate about putting technology to use to deliver real impact. In his time leading technology at Trustpilot, one of the world's biggest review sites, he grew the technology team from 3 to more than 100 full-time tech people across 2 locations. Ole Dalerup, welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast.
Thank you very much. Super excited to be here.
Well, let's dive right into it. First of all, tell me, why is revenue attribution so important?
So I come from the software background. And for me, it has always been natural that we would measure everything. We would measure how many people log in, how do people use our product. And so we would, from my perspective, I would always be like, we would look at numbers. Are people using the features? Is it a good feature? Well, show me the numbers. When I started kind of moving in a little bit, caring a little bit more about revenue and marketing, and I experienced that marketing, at least some marketing teams, had a little bit of different perspective on this. So they were talking much more about opinions and some of the numbers that I would also reference as vanity metrics. They would look at how many clicks did we get? How many impressions did we get? It's so crazy. We got 1 million impressions. Wow, this campaign is a huge success. And it's like, yeah, maybe it is. Or maybe you just wasted all the money and got 1 million impressions to consumers, and you were actually trying to target businesses, and so you just wasted all the money. Maybe. Right. And then people would start arguing and long discussions. And personally, I don't think that's super exciting. For me, it's much more exciting going in, building the campaigns. How do we kind of really tag our users? How do we get more customers? How do we get to talk with our customers about building the right products for them, solving their problems? For me, that's what's exciting. And what I also tend to feel is that that's also what marketers get excited about. But they lack sometimes a tool and the ability to actually track this. What impacts the number we all care about, revenue, and what might be more vanity kind of stuff. And when I say this, I'm not saying that you can't have a little bit that builds you brand exposure and those kind of things. That's fine, but you want to find the cheap ones. Right, you want to find places where get a lot of cheap exposure. Most of the stuff you want to do, at least in the B2B world, particularly in the B2B world, is stuff that generates revenue relatively well proven.
Right, and why do you think that the marketing function kind of grew up without having that connection to data in the way that, of course, the development or the kind of engineering function has always been tied to data?
I think some of it is due to technology. It is hard to do. We have to collect a lot of data. It is actually complex, not the least in the B2B, but even in the like classical, though simple B2C world, or more simple B2C world. I admit that some B2C worlds are also very, very complex, but let's just take a very kind of simple case. You sell shoes online. That's what you do. And kind of, that's your shop, that type of case, even that, you have to measure clicks, you have to see if people actually buy, and there's a lot of data you have to track. Today, that is relatively easy with tools like Google Analytics, but even if you do that and you start mixing up with different funnel or different channels, So you want to do Google Ads, well then Google Analytics is a great tool for you. But then you start doing Facebook ads, and then suddenly Google Analytics is not the greatest tool. But then you start using maybe Facebook attribution, even though it's closing down now. Maybe you start using that, and then it's like, well, but you can't compare it. And so Facebook says, hey, we are accountable for 80% of your revenue. And Google says, we are accountable for 80% of your revenue. And it's like, that doesn't work. And even though those tools say that, then, well, I experience the same in kind of in business. I have stories where we have the CMO on one side and the chief of sales on the other side. And in this case, there's actually even also a head of or the chief technology officer. And the chief technology officer says, hey, I'm accountable for 0%. Great. And the CMO says, hey, I'm accountable for 80%. And the chief of sales says, hey, I'm accountable for 80%. It's like, but we can't be that. Something is wrong. And the truth of that story was actually that the only one that was accountable for 80% was the CTO, and the rest and sales was accountable for roughly 20 in this case. But and that just shows how wrong you can go. You invest in the completely wrong things. The head of sales said, let's hire more salespeople. The head of marketing said, hey, let's hire more marketing people. And the head of technology said, hey, I can't account for anything. So whatever you have left, that's what we're going to hire engineers for. Right? And the truth was in this story, you had to hire more engineers and a little bit of sales. And basically fire marketing. That was the, in that story, that was kind of, in that situation, that was the truth you wanted to do. Whether that's actually what you wanted to do, that's a different story. Right? Maybe you want to invest in marketing to make it work. There's an opportunity if it generates 0% of your revenue, but you want to understand this so you can invest both at a high level, but also in the details. Does these campaign work? And we all do mistakes here. This is like when I do A/B split tests and at a Trustpilot, when we did A/B split tests, we sometimes kind of did small bets. Which we send out like millions of emails, or sometimes we build some emails and said, hey, which emails are going to win here, right? And people guess wrong. Like even the best people who knew most about this, they guess completely wrong. It's because you can't always predict this. It is very hard. And therefore, I know even the best marketers, they do bad campaigns once in a while. Or they have two campaigns and they close down the one that is best and stay with the poorest, right? We have to have tools to measure this because it's almost impossible to see how our customers are actually acting on the campaigns we're doing, where we are today too much biased on our own opinion, our own situation.
Okay. So it sounds like there's kind of two layers of complexity here, and either both or one will apply to pretty much every single company out there, unless they've got a really, you know, concrete structure for how to attribute their revenue. But either it's mostly opinion-based and people are not relying on the technology to tell them what the data says, or on the other hand, they are kind of over relying on the technology, but the technology is siloing that data between whether it's different channels. Marketing can even be relying on two different tools, as you said, Facebook and Google Analytics, or maybe marketing has figured out a way to unify their data, but then their data is against the sales data because, you know, the sales team is using a completely different platform. So before we dive into how companies can kind of wrangle all that data in and figure out a good way to unify it, what is the ideal type of data that you should be looking at? What is not a vanity metric? What is good, hard data?
So for me, it is revenue. Like, there are sometimes we can't use revenue. We can talk about that. But like the real number we want to care about is revenue. That's what I want my product and engineering teams to care about. When they build features, they have to impact revenue. If they don't impact revenue, the feature is useless. We can't use it. That's what we want to impact. That's also what marketing want to impact. That's what sales want to impact. BDRs, we all, that is the number. And so that is the number we need to move. Sometimes, and why that is sometimes not the ideal number to look at, is because it takes too long to impact. So in the simple B2C case, well, then from you kind of show an ad to a user to they actually act on it and buy, well, it, maybe a few days, but not longer, right? In the B2B world, it could take a year. And so it is a little bit hard sometimes to look at the short-term outcomes or the short-term activities and see kind of the long-term if you look at only revenue. So therefore, you want to sometimes move a little bit back in the funnel, which could be sales qualified leads or opportunities in your sales pipeline or whatever, kind of depending on the tool you're using. Or even maybe marketing qualified leads, though that is where I will be a little bit more skeptical and careful, because that is less kind of, that there's too much here that is not gonna bring you anything. And it's too easy to cheat. So it's also marketing owns the income. And they have to be accountable for something they don't know, like they don't own, right? And this is, no one else checked whether it's an MQL. So it's too easy to use it as a vanity metric. In the perfect world, I think you can use MQLs or whatever kind of thing you have there. But I would lean more towards using opportunities. See how many opportunities can we generate from our Facebook ads, for example. Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it. Because I would imagine a lot of marketers, if they were involved in this conversation, would argue that so many of their kind of tasks or projects would indirectly create revenue. It's not necessarily like a BDR goes and books the meeting and it goes straight in the pipeline. That's very easy to attribute. But yeah, like we're talking about the brand stuff, like how do you know, especially when there's kind of a complicated multi-channel marketing strategy where maybe somebody has watched a webinar and then they have read a blog post, they subscribe to the newsletter, they see you at the booth at a conference, and then somewhere, some combination of all of these things results in them eventually becoming an opportunity in the pipeline. So how do you go about measuring that effectively?
And that's where technology becomes key and also becomes difficult, right? So you start by collecting all the data. So you collect that the user came into your website, he signed up to the webinar, his colleague signed on to the newsletter. You kind of start collecting all that data. So the first thing is just that you map it out and you have a journey and you have an understanding of this customer or this prospect. How did they touch us? Which ads did they see? What did they kind of do? Which people are involved? So that's the first step you do. When you then collected all that data, and that's from typically from many different systems. It can be from Zendesk, your support ticket system, your CRM, your marketing automation, but potentially also your webinar tool, and, kind of website. And there are multiple tools you would kind of collect this data from. But when you have that and have that mapped up, and that sounds easy, that's unfortunately if you build this yourself, where you'll spending at least 90% of your time, then you can start talking about how do we create an algorithm that shares the money or the outcome, which is the opportunity or the revenue, in a fair way amongst all these activities, right? And that's what you call typically attribution algorithms, whether that's a simple case where you do the first touch and you say, hey, marketing, whatever they kind of did the first touch, that should get the honor. And what sales would typically kind of, and Salesforce encourages is the last touch. The salesperson always touches the last, so sales will get all the honor for all opportunities and all revenue.
Yeah.
And that's the simple models. And I think we all understand that. And I think that's very easy to see that doesn't work. That doesn't share the money in a fair way. And it doesn't help us tell us what to do. It helps us to try to give someone a glory hat on and say, hey, you're so good. You did a lot of things. But reality is it doesn't help us. So we need to be more sophisticated and look at all these touches and do some level of multi-touch attribution. The exact algorithm to use, I think that's when I look at data, then reality is that's actually less important. But many of our customers like to kind of look a little bit more in deep and have an opinion about this. But I tend to say that there is less kind of difference. The big impact is to look at the entire thing, and it's less impactful what algorithm you actually use at the end.
Interesting. So it's less about dividing up how much of the total percentage of revenue you could say was generated through each step, but rather to say X final revenue was generated by this customer journey. So we should be trying to replicate this customer journey in some kind of repeatable way for our customers that are like that.
Exactly. I think also it's also a conversation about the imperfect kind of tracking. You are most likely not to be able to track all activities, either because Google is not willing to share all view impressions with you, or you got whatever, you had a bug on your website and you didn't track it all. That happens, right? So we have situations where we can't track all the details we would like for some reason. Therefore, I don't believe you should look at attribution as exact science, in the sense we made $100,000 here, so this is what it's worth. No, it indicates that there is a sum of revenue over here that is reasonable and you want to look at it, right? And you want to treat it with a little bit of care before you close it down, or you want to try to optimize it if it's far away from generating a lot. So of course, if it's $100,000 and you're spending $10 million on it, well, then you probably want to look at it, right? But if you were spending, let's say, $150,000 on it, well, then that's probably not necessarily a bad sign. That's a good sign. You're making $100,000 and you spend $150,000. So now you want to at least like take a look at it and treat it with respect. And now it's probably just optimization, which is where I believe, or at least most of the marketers I know of, that's where they're really good. They go in, they change the copy, they change the graphics, they make the story really compelling and get customers to convert. And then you can easily double or triple this number. Most marketers will be able to do that relatively easy, right? But if you're far from, well, then you're probably sending in traffic that is not relevant.
Right. Okay. So it sounds like we know the most important thing is collecting all of that data and putting it somewhere. So what it sounds like to me is that you need somewhere to put that, because I'm just thinking about my own experience and I'm like, I can't think of like a central perfect database that I would have to help me do all of this stuff. So there are two options, as we mentioned in the title of this podcast. You can either build this in-house or you can buy. So the first thing we're going to touch on is how to build. What is this tool? What are you building?
So to build it, you need to build some relatively heavy infrastructure. And I can promise you require real engineers who knows how to build things that scale. So this is not the web developer your marketing team might have on your team. He will also be useful, but you need a little bit more than that. So first you need to build or find something to track all the data. That can, you cannot, I mean, there is also something in between here. Now we can try to explain the extreme where you build everything yourself. And then there is a kind of an in-between solution as well. But the first option is, well, you need to have a tracking. So you need to build a tool so you can track your website. You need to put a cookie on your, every time a user comes in, you need to ensure that cookie gets associated with the user as they sign up and do things. And so that's the first thing you need to do. Then additionally, you need to pass this data into a database. At DreamData, we use a tool called BigQuery, Google BigQuery, which is a data warehouse. There are other options out there, Amazon Redshift or Snowflake. That's probably the most common ones. You need to pass the data to that kind of data store for data analytics, pass that data in. Similar, you need to extract the data from the CM system, your marketing automation system, your support ticket system, your chat system, whatever you kind of have that has meaningful information. So you extract that data, put it into the same database. So now you have all this raw data, and this is relatively raw. There's most likely duplicates. you have things coming in random order. So that's relatively raw. Then you need to start cleaning up the data, meaning remove duplicates, extract the data you need in a form that you can kind of use and where you can kind of join the data across all these sources. So you need to sit down and write that piece of work for all the tools you've done. That means you have to have an understanding of how Salesforce works, how Marketo, HubSpot, whatever tools you are using, how they work. Now you have that. Now you can join all the data across, right? A dream data we use primarily email address, that kind of works most cases, but could also be phone numbers, whatever unique identifiers that kind of applies across these systems, you need to join. You need to join these contacts, these companies together. Maybe there are information that is not linking. So maybe you have a contact in Salesforce and you have a contact in HubSpot that's the same person, but they have different titles. So now you need to make this business decision. What title should I trust? Should I trust Salesforce more than HubSpot? Similar with your accounts. Well, maybe the contact we had before was actually a lead in Salesforce, but he was in contact in HubSpot and associated to a company. What do you do now? And what if that company isn't Salesforce, but is that, should you join it? Should you not? What are you going to do here? Right. So now you need to make all those business decisions on those detailed level. How are you going to merge all this data together? You do that. You sit through, you kind of work through that. And then at the end, you have one table. This is all your contacts. This is all your contacts or companies. This is all the activities they've done. You can link activities with contacts and contacts with companies. This is the revenue, whether that's opportunities or MQLs. This is the time and point when they became an MQL. When you have that, now you can start talking about attribution. So then you start doing all the calculations. You come up with an algorithm that kind of fits your company. You build that. And then you have that data. And now you need to visualize it so that people can actually use it, right? So the marketing people probably would not prefer to go into a RESTful database and run SQL queries to get this understanding. So now you need to do that. But you also need to like build a piece of infrastructure that actually continuously makes sure to build the models. Also looking historically, because what happens is when a user comes into your website, you set a cookie. That's great. You track him, la, la, la. And then suddenly that user identifies themselves. They say, hey, I'm actually Peter from, let's just say, Trustpilot. Well, now what happens in the past, you actually know it's Peter. So now you need to go in and recalculate the model, because actually the activity we had in the past, that's Peter. So you constantly have to have built some infrastructure that rebuilds the model at a constant flow. So you get in both the historical data, but also the new data, and take the entire thing and encapsulate that. Now you need to visualize the data. And so now you need to have people who are experienced in, of course, visualizing data, but also have a little bit of kind of experience in how do you visualize attribution data? When can we kind of show it in a good way? And when, what's maybe a less good way of kind of showing this data? Here most people would not build something themselves the same way they wouldn't build a database that we use, like whatever, Looker, Tableau, Data Studio, whatever tool they kind of have already. And they will start building up dashboards that marketing can go in and relatively easily filter on whatever layer, right? But then quickly marketing will start asking, saying, hey, we would like to segment a little bit. We would like to understand what, how does all the companies in the software, computer software industry perform versus those in whatever, professional services or whatever, right? How do they perform against each other? Oh, now we need to get industry in. Oh, where did we get that from? Oh, okay. I think it's in Salesforce. I'll go back to Salesforce, find industry. Oh, but it's not always there. And sales also sets different type of categories in industries. Okay, we can also enrich this. Okay, let's go out and buy Clearbit, and then we'll enrich it. And the current story continues, right? You end up kind of adding a lot of features. Some of it you can kind of get relatively free and get to kind of use, but you will end up building a lot of infrastructure to do some, what I think most people would call boring. I mean, now I'm an engineer, so I am excited about stuff like that, but but most people will probably find it a little bit boring to build all this up. And then at the end, you get to spend a little bit of time actually understanding the data and getting what you're looking for, the outcome, which campaigns work. What activities should we hire more BDRs? Should we do more marketing? How did our like product-led revenue? Is that working? Is our free tool, free product working, and so on? Mm. Right. And even if you do the in-between kind of fix, which is start looking at a few infrastructure tools, so you can. There's a lot of ETL tools. You don't have to build something that extracts the data from Salesforce. You buy Stitch data or similar tools, right? So you don't have to do that, right? The tracking tools, maybe you use a CDP, such as Segment, right? And so you don't have to do that. That's great. And I would definitely recommend to do that if you decide to go this route. So then you kind of helps you do a lot of the things. So you don't need a 10-man team, but you quickly need at least a few engineers for quite some time, depending on your complexity, right? And then it's a continuous effort because you need to invest in this every day, every year. It will never go away because commercial will add new systems. The systems will change. That's just given, and that's a good thing, I believe. But it will cost money and time.
Yeah, makes sense. So that's the totally do-it-yourself side of things where, yeah, you're building it all in-house. What is the complete opposite? How are there tools out there that can just do all of these pieces for you already?
Yeah, and that's why I'm here, right? So that's what we do at Dream Data. We decided to say, hey, all this piece of work, we were actually sitting at Trustpilot saying, hey, we couldn't find a good tool to solve this problem. That, oh, damn, we don't want, like, this is not our business. We definitely don't want to do all this piece of work, but we need to understand this on the other side, right? So we can't make the good business decisions if we don't get this insight. But on the other hand, we don't want to build this tool. We ended up starting building it at Trustpilot, but left because we thought there was a bigger mission here for at least us. So Lars, the CEO of Dream Data, and I are from originally from Trustpilot and kind of started building the company up to solve this problem so that people don't have to find all these different ETL tools, tracking tools, get the data into a data warehouse, clean it up, analyze it and kind of present it in a good way. With Dream Data, you basically log in, you connect your tools, and we start syncing all the data. You don't have to do anything. We'll glue all the data together, accounts, companies, merge accounts and companies from various kind of sources into one and give you the outcome. The only place where companies are different, right? And some customers have strange data pieces that make sense for them in a way, but most often where we kind of talk is what to measure, what is the outcome. That's where some companies have done things different, but I would say like most customers of ours are Salesforce and HubSpot customers, and here this deal or opportunity created and a new business closed one are good measurements and things we can do out of the box. So that means if you have one of those, then you just click, you download the data, and we can kind of start showing your data. I think the only thing that is for many customers, and that's also, I think, something, even if you don't want to do attribution today, then consider getting tracking up and running on your website. So you collect the data, because some of our customers actually don't have that data. They are not able to link a visitor in the form of a cookie with an email address. Mm-hmm. I think that's crucial to start collecting that data right now. And there are multiple ways. I mean, you can do that through Dream Data, but you could also use CDPs as a segment. You can build something yourself. If you are a HubSpot enterprise customer, you can also use HubSpot to do this. So there are multiple ways of doing that. But I think that single thing is super, super crucial for you, because that's data you're losing. Every day you don't have that running on your website, you are deleting data, which means you are removing that kind of possibility for you to go back in time and see what actually worked. What was a good idea and what was just the head of marketing or whoever makes the decisions, dream idea of how you advertise people, but it doesn't work. And you want to be able to do that. I think that's the most important piece.
Interesting. Yeah, it makes sense that everything else is sort of being tracked automatically because we're using tech to help us achieve whatever function. But if you're not putting something there on purpose on the website, then you're just letting that data kind of wash in and wash right back out, and you won't have it available if and when you do decide to really put some effort into attribution.
Yes, exactly. Right. Okay. There's many other things you can use this data for as well, right? But I think collecting the data is the key. And also so you own it, right? So Google Analytics here is not collecting the data. They are not storing the data for you to use it in a raw form, and they're not linking it with actual people. They're just building statistics on top of it, which useful for some purposes, but it's not what we are talking about here. We are talking about actually collecting the data and owning the data, so you own it and you can do with it what you need.
Mm-hmm. Okay, makes sense. And what is the impact that you see, whether it's done in-house or whether it's done using all of these tools like yours, what is the impact of having accurate revenue attribution?
What we see, I mean, like the best companies that do this, they start having a very different relationship with sales. So marketing and sales, they move into being a team together that just kind of monetize revenue from different perspectives, right? They have different jobs and they are good at different things, but they work very close together and they can analyze which type of customers are good, which channels do we acquire website type of customers from, where do we get the enterprise customers? Where do we get small customers? And so this way they can kind of control spend very accurately. They can turn down spend when sales are not able to take in more leads and so on. So they can find a lot of different kind of patterns. And so the teamwork is super essential. I think for the marketing team, it gives them the ability to experiment. So instead of having to trust someone's gut feeling that this is the campaign that's gonna win them all, they can start running small experiments, start seeing what is the outcome of this, and then kind of scale campaigns up or scale them down as they stop or start working. And I think that's also what we see in the modern world. I think 10 years ago, I heard, someone high ranking from Google saying, well, basically all you need to do is to make one sales channel work and then kind of you're done. And that's not true anymore. That we can't do, like, as a company, only getting one sales channel to work, one acquisition channel to work, that's not gonna make us or break us. That's gonna break us, because that's not enough. We need multiple channels, and that means it's complex, but channels also go up and down. I think we all see in the graphs that the cost per click on Google is getting higher, right? Same for Facebook. And so we're moving some of our revenue or some of our kind of spend to other channels, which is natural. But if this is a dynamic piece that constantly changes, well, then the return of investment is also changing. The people's behavior are changing. The tech products, Google, Facebook, they are changing. So what works a year ago is not going to work next year. It might get better if you're lucky, but most likely it's going to get worse and more expensive. And you need to act on that. Move some of your money somewhere else. Experiment, find new channels, and you constantly need to do that. If you don't have a way of measuring outcome, you can't move very fast. You will be opinionated.
Interesting. Well, I think that's a perfect place to wrap it up because it brings us right round full circle. It's a hugely important piece of being able to scale a company in an effective way to have this revenue attribution. And Ola, you've given us some great kind of tactical ways to approach that, whether it is entirely in-house, whether it's using the tools that are out there. So thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me and looking forward to seeing this live.
Yeah, absolutely. If people do want to learn more from you, if they want to get in touch with you, where can they do that?
So they can always find me on LinkedIn and connect me with me there. And of course, you're also more than welcome to join and check out Dream Data. We have both free and paying offering. So check it out and would love to get your feedback. Whether positive and actually particularly the bad things. We'd love to hear that. We're still a young company. We definitely need to improve and grow very fast. So any kind of bad news, we would love to hear so we can kind of fix it.
Nice. Very cool. Well, there you go, guys. Give it a go. Try it out. See what it does. And if there's anything that you think has room for improvement, you can let Ola know. But once again, thank you so much for joining us, Ola. And thank you to you guys for joining us. And we will catch you next time.